It's going to be a great day. You know, and we're going to be singing about it today, guys. And so as the band comes up, gosh, we're going to be worshiping, and it's going to be beautiful. I'm going to tell you some of the lyrics here. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. All I know is I need you. Can we feel that today, all right? Heavenly Father, we need you in this moment right here. And gosh, thank you for your presence, your grace, and your love that is unwavering, unchanging. Despite what we're going through as dads or just as just regular humans on this earth, we thank you for your consistency, your grace, your love for us. So let's worship. Let's do it. Amen? All right.
Awesome. Thanks, Reed. You can go ahead and do that. Well, welcome again, and let's turn our attention to our Father in heaven, and let's worship His name in this place. So, as you are comfortable, if you want to stand, let's sing to Him.
Raise the hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Here you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is the melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is the melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
I'm gonna sing
in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises. The King is alive. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Así peleo mis batallas.
Así peleo mis batallas. Así peleo mis batallas. Así peleo mis batallas. Puede ser que estoy rodeado por ti. Puede ser que estoy rodeado por ti. Puede ser que estoy rodeado por ti. Puedo ser que estoy rodeado por ti. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. And this is how I fight my battles. And this is how I fight my battles. And this is how I fight my battles.
And we are so surrounded by your presence in this place, Father, and we just thank you for your spirit here in our midst. And we worship this way, Lord, because this is how we come against the enemy and his lies, is to sing about the truth of you, the truth of what you've done over our lives. We just thank you so much for your fathering of our lives. You just father over us each and every day of our lives as we come to you, as we seek you. Lord, you bring guidance today, you bring encouragement, you lift our spirits in this place. Lord, we honor that and worship to you, to sing of you this morning.
Good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers, far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
You are perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. It's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
One more time, you are perfect.
Get you to introduce me to that piano player or that keyboard player. Good morning. Happy Father's Day. On this Father's Day, because this is Sunday when we come and meet with our Father right here. We get this beautiful place that we get to meet with our Father. And ladies, I want to say thank you, because Father's Day would not be Father's Day without you ladies, right? And children, the same thing. Father's Day would not be Father's Day without you children as well. We get the easy praise point on it, but hey, you are who truly make it Father's Day when it gets right down to it. So we thank you. You know, children have a wonderful inclination. They're kind of, it's built in. They're born with it. An inclination to share the joy of their accomplishments. Isn't it great? You know, and they, when they do something, they are so proud. And what do they want? What do they want to do? They want to share the joy that they have with everyone else. They want, hey, look what I did, right? Fortunately, Coco didn't have that kind of reaction this morning. He shared a little more fear with us than anything else, but he's calmed down. What a great kid. But they want to share the joy, especially with their parents. And what that does is that helps create an even greater parent-child relationship. We, as children of God, want to share our joy as well, right? We want to share our joy with our parent, with Christ himself, with Jesus, with God. We have that same innate desire to be seen, we have that same innate desire to share our accomplishments, both for our joy and the pleasure of others. But we adults do it a little differently. And because of the fall, many times that desire in the adults is misdirected. And instead of seeking joy by pleasing God with our faith-inspired actions, too many of us seek a sin-sick joy of the praise of others. Not the praise of God, but the praise of others, other people. And the advent of social media, has it made that worse, or has it improved that sin-sick joy? Well, it's improved it, but that's made it worse, right? Because how many of us are so desirous of seeing how many people have liked us, right? Or have befriended us on some of the social media pages, the requests and the retweets, you know, among other things. It's just enhanced that misplaced, misdirected joy. And instead of living to please God, we're living more and more to please not just ourselves, but other men, other women as well, other people. Men become too large in our eyes. God becomes too small in our eyes. Other human beings become too large. God becomes too small. Christians desperately need to learn to value a living for God, not a living for others. We need to value a living for God in a man-pleasing world, because that's what we live in now, is it not? Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Jesus counsels his disciples in this very thing. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you do so, as the hypocrites do. In the synagogues, as the hypocrites do, in the streets, so that they may be honored by other men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you." What he's saying is, when you do it in secret, who is it that you're honoring? Who is it that you're pleasing? No, it's not yourself. You're honoring God. You're pleasing God. And Jesus warns us to practice our righteousness merely to be seen by other people is wrong. We should not do that. We should desire to be seen by God and to please God alone. What does he call that? What does he call practicing our righteousness to be seen by others? Well, he calls it hypocrisy. He said, calls them hypocrites, does he not? In Matthew chapter 6. It's what hypocrites do, he says. Hypocrisy is doing things that because others are watching, not because God is watching. Now, that's an interesting definition that most English teachers probably won't give you. Right? Hypocrites pretend to be what they are not. And many do so in particular by using a facade of religion to achieve some ulterior motive, to boost themselves in the image of other men, or their image before other men. Hypocrites are pretenders. They claim to be God-centered, but they're really not. They're really man-centered. They claim to be God-focused, but really they are focused on man. They seek the praises of men. They seek the glory of man. They desire to be seen by men and to be praised by others, and they perform that evil in secret, completely disregarding God at all. You know, we often kind of misunderstand what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We wrongly assume that Jesus is kind of condemning that intrinsic desire to be seen, or that intrinsic desire to be affirmed. And no, that's not really what he's doing, because God does like to see us do things that please him, right? He desires to see us doing things that please him. Jesus is not saying we need to suppress our desire to be seen. In fact, I think he's kind of encouraging it. At least he's pointing it out. Not condemning it, but pointing it out. And instead of condemning it, he wants to redirect it, teaching that our righteousness should be performed ultimately to an audience of one. An audience of one for the pleasure of one. Why? Because Jesus understands our deepest source of our joy. God understands the deepest source of our joy. Our deepest source of our joy is also, however, what's going to be the object of our worship, right? And if it's other men or ourselves being seen and glorified in other men, well, then we are worshiping literally ourselves, self-idolatry. But if it's God that we are desiring to be seen by, now that's appropriate. That is fine. Because then we will focus our worship on God. Worshiping others will never give us the joy that worshiping God will. For God alone is the only deep, lasting source of joy. So just like the child who dances, who jumps, and who performs for the pleasure of his or her parents, Christians should do everything for the pleasure of their Father in heaven. Everything for the pleasure of their Father in heaven. It's what John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. We don't perform righteous deeds for our Heavenly Father's acceptance. No, we perform righteous deeds because we know we are accepted by our Heavenly Father. We got to get that right. Get that understanding right, for it's very important. We don't act in faith to obtain a relationship with him. No, we seek to please him by faith because we already have that relationship with him. And we love to please the one we love. And so living for God doesn't isolate us from others. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. It actually unites us together, all together, as one. The way that we need to be united together, the way we Christians were designed to be united together, as children in whose family? Our Heavenly Father's family. As children in our Heavenly Father's family. Living for God doesn't isolate us from others, it unites us appropriately with others. The only way we can experience deep joy, lasting peace, is through living for God, is being God-centered together and not man-centered. Living for God actually places man in his rightful place and allows man to see God as he, God, ought to be seen, sitting on the throne of the universe first, sitting on the throne of each of our hearts as well. And aiming to please God will revolutionize the way that we relate to each other. For living for God does not isolate us, as we just said, but unites us and restores the proper way that we were meant to interact together as the family of God. And instead of seeing ourselves as objects of worship, we become life-giving tools in the hands of our Father for the good of our brothers and sisters. Good deeds done in secret please our Father and ready our hearts for public acts of love that are not a facade. They are true, true acts of faith. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, today we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to remember the extraordinary sacrifice that you made in sending your Son Jesus, your beloved Son. You sent him to be with us, to die for us. And you didn't leave us as orphans, but have given us now your Holy Spirit. And so we thank you for the legacy of your Son's words, his actions, and his obedience to suffering on the cross. And Lord, we come to you now to ask for forgiveness for any thoughts, words, or deeds that have not honored your name, that perhaps have placed ourselves too much in the forefront. We are also truly sorry for the times we've chosen to live selfishly rather than heed your calling. And we invite you to inhabit our hearts now as we wait on the words that you have for us through our brother Andrew. And come and bind us together as one family focused on you, filled with your love. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good. The king of my heart, be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good.
Again and again and again. Oh, again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh.
My heart has been in your sights long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death.
And I feel this rush deep in my chest, your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh,
again and again
and again.
Thank you, worship team, to remind us of that fact again and again. Good morning, everybody. Gentlemen, did you get your cookies on the table over there? You don't need those cookies. I'm going to use a Jedi mind trick. You don't need those cookies on the table over there. Pay no attention to those cookies on the table over there. I will take yours if you don't. They're on the table over there. Thank you, Carol, and those, anybody else behind the scenes for that. We appreciate it. There's also some waters over there. It's cooling down a little bit, but if it gets warm out here, grab some water, stay hydrated, and happy Father's Day to all of you guys. I'm going to take a second swing here, another lap around Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached, and I want to get into a very deep topic. You don't need to stand up and shout today, in case any of you dads were really thinking about it. I know that it's one of those days where you're feeling that, but you probably need to sit down and receive. A lot of times throughout the week, we're focused on what we need to do. You get ready for work, you're preparing for something that's going to happen at work, or you got a crossing you're going to make, and you've got a limited time of something you got to do on the mainland. Preparing yourself for what you need to do. But today, here at church, get rid of the mindset. I want you to be able to receive, all right? To receive. And let this be the one part in your week where it's like that. That doesn't mean that you do that passively, okay? You get more out of something when you put into it, right? So with this message comes this general spirit of the age that our entire emphasis is on being seen. Ron was cracking it open this morning as he was talking about social media and likes and things like that. And if you're going to see that phrase here in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, two times, okay, but it's in direct contrast. And I want to do my best with the help of the Holy Spirit to illuminate where God will illuminate exactly what we need to see today, and I trust that he will. Are you glad that you're here at church? Are you glad that you're listening online? I hope you are. This beautiful park today doing church on Catalina. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 1, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, and right there, most of us just heard the word give, and you're focusing on money. This is not a scripture about money. This is a scripture about motives, okay? He's using the vehicle of talking about money to get to the idea of what is your motive. And he says, when you give to the needy or when you pray and when you fast, he uses three different examples in Matthew 6. But when you're doing something significant, don't do it to be seen. Okay? When you give to the needy, don't announce it. with trumpets like the hypocrites do on Facebook. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. I got caught up in 2021 for a moment. This is 30 AD. So I'm off my dates. Do not do it like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The title of this message is He Sees You. He Sees You. I want to pray one more time if you join me. Lord, your word is powerful. And if I get out of the way, it will do work. So remove me. I know that it's my vocal cords right now, but I pray that the voice would come from heaven this morning. Now. And if their hearts are blocked from something that they're thinking about that's not in this park right now, I pray that every thought will be taken captive right now. So your word can go forth. Feed your people, God. Use me to do it, and I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A lot of shuffling going on at our home right now, a lot of different things. We're moving books around. I came across this book called Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shovel. Fans of Mike Mulligan, raise your hand and be proud. Look around, okay? There's two of you. You're right. Be proud, Mike Mulligan. And what's the name of the Steam Shovel? What's her name? Marianne. Did you say Katie? That's the big snow. Yes. I've had this in our home a long time, maybe since our first was born, Alex. And it came with a movie. Have you seen the little cartoon movie that comes with Mike Mulligan and the steam shovel? All right, you can YouTube it when we're finished here. It's great. And there's a lot of good themes in these kids' books. This one grabbed me as a kid. And obviously, the steam shovel is no longer being used. The diesels come in, the electrics come in, and they kick out Mike Mulligan, and he's basically out of work, and Marianne is headed to the scrap fields. But they put a bid out to build a cellar for a new town hall, and they won the bid. But the deal is they had one day to build it, if you remember the story. You could dig a cellar in a day. I see my family singing it over there. We played it so many times. Our kids would sing it all the time. And this little kid on a street bike shows up because you see the steam shovel just throwing dirt and steam. And then a few other townspeople and a few of the council members show up. Before you know it, the fire and the police are there. The entire town is surrounding the top of this hole in the ground, where Marianne is going nuts and Mike is down there. And before you know it, they finish the cellar just as the sun was setting. And the theme of that whole book was, I always work faster and better when someone is watching. My kids have had some pretty big moments in their lives. I got one of them still around. She's sitting over there. Valedictorian, athlete of the year, some big stuff happened at school. Harrison took home some big awards for football and, of course, CIF championship. We got rings. Maddie got to stand on a stage at Disney World for a soccer tournament, put a medallion around her neck. My oldest son got a chance to be there and stack hands with some other great spiritual mentors at his ordination just a few years ago. Into ministry. All these things meant the world to me. Harrison, one time, when he was real young, got moved from a soccer team to another soccer team, a rec program to a little bit more of an advanced competitive team. And they already had the team, and they just kind of moved him up. And the roster was already set. The season went through. He played his guts out. And as a father, I'm just saying he played his guts out. At the end of the season, the awards went out to, you know, a couple of the guys that were already on the roster, the MVPs of the team, and my son had played his guts out. And I knew that as a coach, what I saw, playing up on a team way above his age level and what he did. And I remember he didn't get a trophy. So I stopped by the trophy place on the way home. And it said, to the best soccer player, Harrison Hobbs. And he thought the coach was giving it to him and forgotten or whatever. But when I gave it to him, man, that just grinned from ear to ear. It was huge. I got to ask you a question. What happens when the world doesn't give out trophies? This message is called He Sees You. Jesus makes the distinction here in Matthew 6, what people see and what God sees. And there's a difference. Can I get one person to say amen to that? Thank goodness. Have you noticed that the world hands out trophies for all the wrong stuff? Y'all are going to have to help me preach today, okay? Can't do it by myself. Have you noticed that? The world hands out trophies for a lot of the wrong stuff. Thank you. It's always going to do that for what is seen. But we have a God who celebrates the unseen. I walked the horse trail this week, part of it, and I'm basically in pain from other physical activities. I mean, just kind of had to work out the pain. God met me there as I was working on, man, what is it? What is it that you say on Father's Day from a father to a father, but including everyone else in that message? And I guess it may just be me, but I felt like I was in the middle of nowhere, but I felt watched. I felt seen. I felt heard. I felt loved. The world celebrates the seen, but there is a kingdom that does not do that. So people will congratulate you for a new car, a new motorbike, maybe a new golf cart, even though they don't know you can't afford the payments. And the world will celebrate you getting a promotion. And I hope that you do get a promotion. In fact, I hope that you get all the promotions that God wants you to have this year, but people will never come up to you and say, I congratulate you for your peace. Hey, congratulations for your peace, what you've got going on. They can't celebrate it because they can't see it. And you can't celebrate what you don't see. If you lose weight, people will celebrate you. My wife and I had this discussion the other night. Even if you put it back on and lose it again every year, and I'm going to help you out here. Look, if you want people literally to make this thing work in a foolproof way, every year lose 30 pounds, okay? And then gain it back again. At least half the year, you will hear people telling you how good you look. But if you lose weight and keep it off, nobody comes up to you and says, hey, you still look all right. They don't do it because they can't see that. They don't celebrate consistency. I want to teach a little bit before I preach today. And one of the ways that you can know you're getting good at your job is people stop giving you compliments. They just stop altogether. In fact, one of the ways you can tell you're a good parent is your kid doesn't come around going, hey, thanks for paying the power bill. Thanks for the indoor plumbing. Right? If they do, your parenting needs some adjustment here. But they just don't do that. And that's one of the things. If your child turns around, they just don't thank you enough. Kids that are listening, teenagers that are listening, think of all the things that a parent provides for. And it needs to get better. Often the greatest proof that you're doing good in God's sight is that you're taken for granted in people's sight. And I know what I'm preaching about today, because when I first started preaching, people would come up to me when I was younger and they say, hey, man, that was a really solid message. I'm older now. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. And I figure if I'm really doing a good job preaching, you'll stop thinking about how good the preaching is and start being able to hear what God is saying to you. There'll be some life change. There'll be something very real. But now I need you to know from Matthew 6 that Jesus says there is tremendous temptation to be seen by people, whether that means that we live in our lives like some kind of a TV reality show, like the vehicles that you heard mentioned by Ron earlier, as Instagram and Snap and Facebook and 1,000 others showing people certain scenes of our life. They're scenes of our life, and they're images that we would like them to think that are real. But honestly, behind it, we are secretly very lonely people. Because the discrepancy between our real life and our projected life is becoming more distant, and that distance creates the illusion of feeling like a poser, even though you're doing the best you can. You're showing that something is better than you are, and so people will congratulate on what they think you are, but you're secretly dying on the inside because no one sees what you really are. And I'm preaching this because our need to be seen by others can keep us from being known by God. And I hate that for myself. I hate that for you. I don't mean that God doesn't know you. I don't mean that. He knows everything about you. He's the only one who does. But we see the contrast in Matthew 6. Let's look at it again. Be careful when you do what you do, that you don't do it to be seen. How many things in our lives are we doing to be seen? We had an Enneagram meeting last night. Oh my gosh, is this sermon a part of my number or what, Mary Lou? There's no worse feeling than that of invisibility, you know? When you're doing your very best and it goes unrecognized and it makes it kind of harder to keep wanting to do it. Coaches don't get a lot of thanks around here. Administration may not be going around thanking faculty. And if you're working with kids, there's not a whole lot of parents at the sign-out table going, you know what, you're amazing. Typically, it's like get in the cart. When you feel unseen, especially by the people whose attention and approval you crave the most, it can create a compulsion in your life. And all of a sudden, you start doing things that are not even consistent with your character in order to receive some kind of confirmation by the very person or persons that can take it away just as easily. We're not citizens of this kingdom. We're not that celebrates these compliments of the things that are seen. The Bible says when you do something in secret, the Father sees it. And he's going to reward you according to what he sees. So my message is this, and we are taking a second lap at this, but a take on it that says if you have felt unappreciated and uncelebrated and unnoticed and insignificant in the kingdom, what is unseen is often what is most significant. Not in this world, because they correlate seen with significant. And I tell you, you can take this little pulpit away. John knows. The wind could come through here right now and blow every music stand down right now. I'm not attached to my notes. I only get to preach once in the morning, not four services, so I am in my notes more. But you can take them away. That's fine with me. The power could shut off on my laptop. It's in my heart, right? But if something happened to this microphone right now, which has some form of a transmitter that's working to it, and you couldn't hear it, are you guys following me right now? Because what is invisible is often what is most valuable. And yet, whether you admit it or not, we're good at celebrating the wrong stuff. People always celebrate. Give us Barabbas! The wrong stuff. People always celebrate what they can see. Another thing people always celebrate is a gift. A gift. Rather than the celebrating character is there. We celebrate the wrong stuff. I understand we had some pretty interesting speeches at the graduation this year. Interesting speeches, I'll just leave it at that. But speeches can reveal character. Sometimes we celebrate the wrong stuff. Now, if you do it in secret, and this could refer to anything in your life, by the way, if you do it in secret, if you do what you do according to your values and not according to your external validation, then you'll understand the meaning of he sees you. He sees you. So motive is everything. The sacrifices that you made that no one else really pointed out. The stuff no one gave you a trophy for. What would it be like this year to live with God as our audience? And not our dysfunctional friends and family members secretly caught up in their own crap. They can't celebrate us because they're waiting for us to celebrate them. Have you ever had that situation in your family? Now, I struggle with this because it's hard for me to live my life for an invisible audience. And they used to sing this song in children's church when I was a kid growing up. Be careful, little eyes, I see. You guys know that one, right? Right? Careful, little ears, what you hear. It, you know, I understand that, but your father up above is looking. You know, it starts to work on me a little bit. And then you know, I get a little bit older, and it's every move you make, every vow you bring. I'll be watching you, right? Please. That beat was so good to that song. I didn't realize it was about a stalker. But he says, your father who sees what is done in secret and say this out loud, okay? My reward. One more time. Come on, guys, shout it out. My reward is from the Lord. Look at somebody and say, I don't need a trophy. Wake them up this morning. You don't need a trophy. Your reward is from the Lord. For everybody that was not appreciated, who was not celebrated, for everybody who was not literally called out or spoken to and given an applause for some reason, for everybody who was unwanted, even abandoned, I want you to know that your Father saw who left you. Your Father saw who should have been there. And if my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me. My Father saw. When people mistreated me, I could have gotten even, but I put it in his hands. He saw it. My reward is with the Lord. I'll give you 8 seconds to celebrate the presence of God in your life right now. Celebrate it in your life, okay? Give him praise. You know he's watching. Some of you have made some incredibly great decisions for your family. Sacrifices. Somebody may have cut you down online. Said something to you in line. How about at Vaughn's? Somebody might have said something to you anywhere in this town at the boat or something. You just heard something negative and you chose not to respond. You put it in the hands of the Father. The workout is making you stronger, but your biceps are not getting bigger. People will love to celebrate what they can see, right? There's all these jokes. Welcome to the gun show. Here's the tickets to the gun show. They love to see those biceps. 50,000 cliches to compliment your body because people celebrate what they see. But nobody came up to me and said, hey, man, your contentment is like gains, bro. They don't do that. They can't see it. They don't see your humility and celebrate it. If you keep following that clap, where's it going to end up? Chasing clout. So people don't even pay attention. Let me just say this. Some of you are seeing friends moving off the island right now. Another couple I just heard moving to Oregon. Now the person that was your whole soul source for affirmation is gone to another state, and the Lord says to you, I saw it, and I see what you're asking for. I see what you need, and I'm there. We don't need to be afraid. This is not a verse about retribution. This part that says your Father who sees you in secret, some people are here like that's a threat. Some of you thought, oh my goodness, it's the worst news I've had all day. Let me remind you, he's not speaking about punishment. He's speaking about reward. He's speaking about reward. He's trying to get us to see that we are seen, whether people see you or not. Do you get it? Do you really get it? I trust that you do. Are you still buying stuff? Still giving away things? One thing I notice is we graduate our need to be approved by people. Sometimes we only graduate from high school, but we still live for approval. We never graduate from that, it seems. It just gets more expensive. It just gets more expensive. I can't preach any harder than this morning. I'd love to look at our graduating class and say, keep it simple. Just keep it simple, man. As you get older, things get way more expensive when you try to please others. And because you cannot see the Father visibly and hear the Father audibly, I wanted to deliver this message this morning. You may still do that, but it starts with being honest about yourself. Can I think of him this way? He saw you. He saw what you didn't get. He saw that integrity that you had. He saw that you didn't go off on someone now. Maybe you did on Wednesday, but today you didn't do it, and it's okay. It's a better day. Celebrate the times we do get this right. And I'm bad at this. I don't receive this well. I love to take a moment and just celebrate that we're very hard on ourselves and we have a hard time celebrating ourselves. But if I did, no one would clap. You say, I'm not clapping for that. Because we have a hard time with that. Luke chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. Remember the title of this message? He sees you, right? Luke 15, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Such a beautiful passage on the prodigal. It says the father got up, went after his son. He saw him. With compassion, he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. While he was a long way off, his father saw him. My friends, he saw past dirty clothes. He saw past the stench of pigs he'd been living with. He saw past the decisions that he had made and the offense and the foolishness and the waste. He saw him. That's a beautiful story. He sees you, and he's filled with compassion. And he ran to them. And a rich man doesn't do this in Jewish culture. God sees the unique you underneath all the layers and all the junk the Father saw. The word of the Lord to you today is the Father sees you. He sees you. He sees the mistakes that you were going to make. He called you anyway. He saw every sin you'd ever commit. And he forgave. And he forgave you anyway. The Father sees you. And when he looks at your life, he doesn't see decisions that you made. He sees the death of his Son and the righteousness of his Son, Christ. And he no longer sees you through the lens of your life's lowest moments. It's changed. Thank you, God, for your unspeakable gift. The Father saw me through the finished work of Jesus. He completed it. The Father saw. The Father saw. He said, I see my Son. And I see the next phase of your life, and I see this turning around, and I see how I'm going to use this thing. Right now, you may have some serious dirt going on in your life right now, maybe some serious junk. And guess what? He turns around and says, I'm going to use this thing in your life. I'm going to use this dry season you've been going through, and I've been preparing this ground, and I've been tilling it, and I'm literally breaking it up. I'm just looking around at what this would look like if it started to crack and something, you know, started to come in here with some kind of irrigation and it was seeded correctly and fertilizer and fumigation against the bugs. And all of a sudden this incredible sport lawn or something grew out here for events. Jesus looks at you and he says, man, I know exactly what I need to do to till your ground that's so hard in your life. So I ask you this, do you have the faith to see what others cannot? And that's the fact that your Heavenly Father celebrates you. Do you know God sees something in you that people don't see? Your Father sees that. And maybe you don't even see it in yourself. Can I ask you guys to just stand up here in the park? Don't get too comfy. Stretch your legs here for a minute. Just don't move. I want you to see for a moment what the Father saw. Because it comes to a point in your life where people have said so much about you and you've said so much about yourself, you no longer see what the Father saw originally. You know, I was asking God last year in a moment of doubt and some very serious self-doubt, what do you see in me? Why do you use me? I'm not special. I'm not holy. I'm so far from perfect. What do you see in me? The moment that you can see past the patterns of behavior that identify you as a sinner and a slave and begin to see yourself as righteousness of God in Christ and what he did, that you're a child of God, you start living. You start living. The doubt goes away. And coming out of this last season, there's no better place to start. You can take your mask off, or you can take your real mask off. Let him see you. Let yourself be seen. Don't hide behind the mask in your life. Fathers, listen to me. There's no greater joy than to be honest with your kids. Be honest with them. Be honest with them with your struggles. Be honest with your wife. On your struggles, the mother of these children, let pride go. Remove that mask. Let the righteousness of what Christ brings into your life complete you and begin to make you holy inside. Yeah, you can do it. You can be a child of the King. And all the kingdom that comes with it is also offered to you. That was the revelation that changed my life. And by the way, it was not changing my behavior. It was a revelation that God sees the real me, and he loves the real me, and he chose this quirky, stupid, very weird, same guy who makes the same mistakes over and over again, me. If you close your eyes, I want to pray this morning, and if you choose to close your eyes, just to blot things out this morning, that's all. There's a lot of things going on around you, and I just ask that you lift your hands. We celebrate your presence, God. You've really, really been there for us. Your arms stayed open. Your fridge stayed full. You kept our bed ready for us from when we came back to this moment, and we're coming to our souls this year, coming home in our souls this year. We're not eating pig food. We're not going to stuff ourselves with whatever's most available. We're coming to your table today, God. In a metaphorical sense, no. But really now in this moment, and I ask you to fill us and allow us to be full of you, full of truth. I really want to pray for these teenagers, God, that may be sitting around here. Help them to come to the real Father, not something that's out there that's just filling the void or just something else that the world throws out there that's desensitizing them, but move back to the place where the Father can see you. We thank you that even at a distance, you see us. Jesus, I ask that you'll have those come home today that need to and receive you as their Lord and Savior. Your righteousness completes them. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that who would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's by grace you're saved through faith. None of your works, it's the gift of God. No one can boast in this moment, whether watching it online or here in this park, it is all about what he has done for you. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for completing us. You are the good Father, Father to the fatherless. As a dad, I come before you now. I say, remove my pride. Get rid of the things that are in the way. And as fathers, we say that as well. May we begin to lead, letting you lead through us. We ask your blessing on this and your scripture in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Andrew. Well, let's close out in song together as we prepare to go out and take this truth with us this morning.
With me in the rising sun, with me when the day is done, the kindness of your heart, the kindness of your heart, never failing in the night, in your presence I will find the kindness of your heart. The kindness of your heart, your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, chasing after me. To dream, I have tasted, I have seen the kindness of your heart, the kindness of your heart. Even in my darkest days, God, your goodness will remain. It's just who you are. It's just who you are. Your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, chasing after me. Ever behind me, every day of my life,
before me, ever behind me, every day of my life.
Put your hands together.
Your goodness, everywhere I turn, I see your mercy, chasing after me. Your goodness, everywhere I turn, I see your mercy.
Well, I pray you feel chased after by God and kindness of his heart over you. Find the goodness of God today and this week ahead of you. God bless your day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
I'll vote you on, Shelly.